Greetings and salutations, loyal ATW listeners. Welcome to our inaugural pilot season, where you'll get to hear a wide variety of pilot episodes from our talented creative team. And after they've all been posted, you'll get to vote on which program you want to hear us expand into a complete season. We've got fantasy and fun, sci-fi western, mystery and intrigue, and more. Stay tuned next for the third selection of pilot season, River's Journey, written by Cambry Varner. And make sure to check out the last 2 weeks' episodes for the first selection, The Motley Crue, and the second selection, Max Peril, so you can vote for which one you want to hear more of.
In the early days of our relationship, you hid your true nature. Sometimes I would see the little events that could go unnoticed or explained away without a second glance or thought. Like the evenings I would watch you working at your old desk. It was slightly uneven, so whenever you laid the pen down, it would roll away toward the edge. Before it would fall off, you'd open your hand and it would roll back, defying gravity. And you'd resume working, not realizing what you had done. And I don't think you ever realized you did it while I was around. I noticed these things you could do, these small but powerful abilities, but I was never frightened of you, because I loved you so. Even when you allowed the world a glimpse of your raw, terrifying visage, I loved you.
Thank you for visiting Carnival Coffee.
Thank you. Where do I buy a ticket for Steel Magnolias?
Oh, they sell tickets in the lobby next door, sir.
Hey, Liam.
Thanks. Pretty convenient to have a coffee shop inside a theater.
Liam.
It is convenient, yes. We're pretty busy during intermissions and after shows.
Hey.
Well, you have a good day.
Didn't you hear me?
Yeah, I see her. But didn't you see me with a customer doing my job?
I wonder what she's working on. She orders a coffee and sits there 4 hours with her laptop.
Maybe she's writing a novel or a screenplay.
But why come here to write it?
I don't know, Lori. As long as she isn't hurting anyone, it's none of our business.
You're no fun.
We're at work. We're supposed to be doing our jobs, not wondering what a customer's doing with her time.
You should go talk to her.
What?
Yeah! Go talk to her! Come on, Leo.
I'm not going to talk to her. Not unless she comes up to the counter to order a muffin or a coffee.
Oh, come on, Liam! Live a little! She's pretty. She's your type.
Liam and Lori are no different than the hundreds of undergrads we've taught. I remember you once said you can split college kids into two categories. The ones who know what they'll do with their lives, and the ones still figuring it out. Lori doesn't know what she wants, save for seeing the world, while Liam is content to work hard and care for his elderly aunt.
Shouldn't you be washing glasses?
Liam, we serve coffee in paper cups.
I don't know, just wash something, anything. And stop trying to hook me up with random women. Oh no. Theater practice must have ended.
You said you needed me to wash glasses? Sure, I'll get right on that.
No, Lori, don't leave me alone with this. Lori!
I mean, who talks like that in a business meeting?
Cupcakes
and
muffins.
Hi, welcome to Carnival Coffee. May I take your order?
I want a venti cup mocha with 3 sugar, a shot of espresso with non-fat milk.
Sure, that'll be just one moment.
Oh my god, did you see Abby's shirt? I could see her bra.
Didn't anyone tell her not to wear a white shirt with a black bra?
She's supposedly a virgin, not a slut.
She is a slut. Didn't you hear? She slept with Rachel's boyfriend last spring.
Oh my god, was she the one who gave him crabs?
That's why she's Crabby Abby.
And Tina's hair. Holy shit. Would it kill her to use some conditioner or something?
More like... she should use weed killer and start off as a baldy. I'd kill myself if I had her hair. Or her life. Gross.
Here's your order.
About time. Ugh. Hey, I asked for non-fat milk.
I did make it with non-fat milk, ma'am.
Are you calling me a liar?
What? No. No, of course not. I can remake it for you if you want.
Yeah, you better. But first, you have a mess to clean up.
Hey! You can't...
Watch it. I don't think Margot will like you offending the actors. Do you?
No.
Good. Now be a good boy and clean up this mess and make me another coffee and do it right this time.
All right.
And hurry up. We're in a hurry.
What a weirdo.
God, I hate townies. It's one thing to be a freak. Just don't be a dumb freak.
Hey, Amelia Landers, right? The leading actress of Heartstrings?
Yeah, that's me. And who are you?
I got a question for you. Whose dick did you suck to get the leading role?
Excuse me?
I've seen your performance back in Milton, so I know someone's dick got sucked for you to get that role. Tell me, was it the director or the producer's dick you sucked? Or maybe your mommy Dearest did the sucking for you? Or your dad?
You bitch.
By the way, I watched him make your order, and he did use non-fat milk, so either you're showing off for your sister bitches by harassing him, or you're losing your sense of taste from sucking so much dick.
I don't know who you think you are to talk to me like this.
I'm no one. Now go fuck off so I can place my order.
Oh, why would she my God, are you all right? I was
going to hit her in the back of the head. Hi, I would like to get a caramel mocha, and please use whole milk.
Sure, yeah, right away.
I'm sorry that happened to you. I worked behind a counter before, and she was giving me flashbacks of customer service. Like, PTSD flashbacks.
I have never seen her back down like that before. She's been causing problems for us ever since she arrived with her company.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell me when the equipment for Heartstrings comes in?
Yeah. When they're not having me serve coffee, I work backstage. The comedy and tragedy company has their stuff coming in tomorrow, and I'm scheduled to help them set up. And your name is?
No need to write my name. I'll wait here till it's ready.
Oh. Okay, almost done.
One more thing. Do you know if there's a harp among the props?
Well, the show is about a lady that plays the harp, so yeah, I guess they should have one.
Thanks. I was just curious.
Here's your mocha.
Thank you. I hope the rest of your day is peaceful.
You too.
Oh my God. That was glorious!
Wait, were you watching the whole thing from the back?
Only I could have taken a picture.
Well, thanks a lot for leaving me alone with Amelia and her coven.
Hey, you know I can't stand her. Do you want me to lose my job cussing her out? You've always handled her better than me.
Because I grit my teeth and bear it till she goes away.
You know, you should have asked for that mystery lady's number.
Huh. Fat chance of that. She didn't even want to give me her name.
You should have asked her why she hangs around here. And why is she so interested in Heartstrings?
Well, she's probably a journalist or a critic writing about the play.
Then why not give her name?
I don't know. Maybe she's a very private person, and it's none of our business.
Fine. I'll drop it. By the way, have you thought about what you're doing this summer?
Definitely working. Maybe set up a vegetable garden for Aunt Louise. Why?
Well, remember when I told you about the road trip Bethany and I were planning?
Sure, how could I forget? You haven't stopped talking about it since Christmas. Why'd you ask?
Well, Bethany, she bailed on me.
What? Why? I thought you two were looking forward to the trip.
Well, we kind of had a falling out. She dumped me.
Oh, seriously? What happened?
Okay, so remember she left to go skiing with her parents during the winter break?
Yeah.
She met someone there, And they've been texting ever since. And yesterday she decided she's in love with him and not me.
Lori. Oh, Lori, I'm so sorry.
It's no big deal. Bethany was just lumming it with me anyway. I knew our relationship had an expiration date. I just wish it happened after our road trip.
Well, if it's worth anything, I think you were slumming it with her. She was lucky to have you. And one day she'll realize it, but it'll be too late, of course, because you will have moved on with someone better than her.
Thanks. But you know what you could really do to make me feel better?
Uh-oh. What?
Come with me on the road trip.
I don't have any money to go anywhere this summer.
And you don't need any. My van has enough room in the back for two. We'll park somewhere and sleep in the back if rooms are too expensive.
That does not sound safe.
Oh, we'd be fine. We'll sleep with the doors locked. You don't... Listen, you worry too much. Don't you want to leave this town and see the country for a few months?
I don't want to leave my aunt alone for that long.
She'll be fine. Her health has been good, and thanks to modern technology, you can FaceTime with her.
But what if something happens while I'm away? I'm sorry, Lori, but I just can't leave her alone for that long.
All right. Sorry for bringing it up. But you gotta live your life, too. You've been in the dumps since Stephanie.
Lori, don't.
I'm serious. Ever since she... You know.
Lori, please. I don't want to talk about her. We just watched the counter. I'm going to take inventory in the back.
All right.
Thank you.
Hey, careful with that. Here, let me help.
Thanks. Are we setting up a play or building a house?
Quiet. You don't want Warlord Margot to hear you complain. Not when she's riled up like this.
God. Ever since she became a manager, she's been such a difficult person to work with.
Eesh, tell me about it.
That table has to go against that wall. Don't drag it. You'll scratch the floor. Lift and carry. Careful with those boxes. See the sticker with the broken wine glass on it? That symbol means fragile. So handle it like a fragile item.
Oh, hey, Tina, let me help you with that.
No, not this. I'll take it to the back myself.
Oh, okay.
Shit! Damn, what happened?
Sorry. The strap must have broke.
Get this cleared up. The CNT director scheduled a dress rehearsal in 2 hours. We need the stage set up by then.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, you over there. Liam, don't just stand there watching.
Sorry.
Since your lackey, Lori, isn't around for you to wait out the clock gossiping like schoolgirls, I expect you to bust your ass like the rest of us. Here, take this crowbar and help with those crates. And sweep up any packing material you drop on the floor, too. It's time to earn your paycheck.
Yes, ma'am. Oh. Hey, it's you.
Hi, don't mind me. I'm borrowing this for a second.
Whoa, I kind of need that crowbar.
Thanks. Excuse me, where's the harp?
The harp? It's here. Safe.
Then give it here. I believe it's my husband's property.
What?
Thank you.
Wait, no, you can't.
Careful. You don't want me to slip with this crowbar and hurt someone with it, do you?
What in the hell? What are you doing? Tina, stop her!
Stop! Leave it
alone!
Get
away from that!
It was as I remembered. Beautiful oak with strings that glistened like silver. Trees from all four seasons, flushed with leaves to bare branches, were intricately carved into the wood. Leaves, snowflakes, and singing birds gathered into coils along the edges. It was your harp. Hello?
Hello, may I speak with David Dane?
He's... my husband isn't here. For now.
I'm calling about your husband's storage unit. Unfortunately, it's been broken into and the contents were removed.
What? What storage unit?
The one your husband has been renting for the last 5 years. An hour ago, a security guard found the unit left open. We reported the theft to the authorities, and I'm calling to notify him about the theft.
Wait, where are you located?
We're located in Weathers Ford, South Carolina.
That's about 100 miles away. My husband has a storage unit that far away?
I really can't say. I'm calling the number on the registry if anything happens. Could you have him call me back?
My husband, he's been away. Can you tell me what was stolen?
I see your name on the registry as an emergency contact, but you'll need to come in person with a photo ID before I can give you more information.
I'm on my way.
I demand to know who you are, and what the hell do you think you're doing?
My name is River Wells, and last month this harp was stolen from my husband's storage unit.
Excuse me?
Did you know this was stolen? That you're decorating your stage with stolen items?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I want to know where you got this. My husband would never have sold this harp. Never.
I don't know. I work for the Carnival Theater. You'll want to talk to the heartstrings director.
Then take me to him.
Holy shit. I can't believe this. Warlord Margot is actually backing down.
Shh, dude, before she hears you.
Everyone, take a break while I take care of this.
Oh, hey, Lori. You won't believe
it. Liam, you need to go to the hospital. Your aunt fell.
What? Oh my god, what happened?
She's fine. The ambulance took her to the hospital a while ago. My mom is the nurse assigned to her floor, and she just called me wondering when you were coming to see her.
Well, why didn't Aunt Louise call me?
Maybe she didn't want you to worry? Mom would have called sooner, but she thought you already knew.
Well, I do now.
We met at the faculty annual Christmas party. I didn't want to be there, but I was pressured into going by the dean. He wanted to start the new year with solidarity among the faculty and saw the Christmas party as a means to grow goodwill between us. But I saw it as a wasted opportunity to work on my lesson plans for next year. So I was sitting alone studying material for a lecture. I wanted to include women's roles in Greek literature and mythology, but I was having trouble.
Is that the Odyssey?
Yeah, it's the Odyssey.
Which part are you reading?
The part where Odysseus is finally back home and sees the suitors turning his house to shit.
I don't mean to disturb you, but I notice you seem confused. I'm familiar with the Odyssey and would like to offer assistance.
When you offered help, it was genuine. It wasn't condescending nor patronizing. You weren't using it as an excuse to show off your knowledge to a woman, nor expected anything in return. And I felt safe with you. As if I could let a little of my guard down with you. Ugh, I'm confused about Penelope. She's renowned in Greek mythology for being a beacon of the dutiful wife holding out for Odysseus. But why would she allow these men to stay in her home? They were rude, menaced her son, and objectified her, so I can't understand why she didn't tell them to get the hell out.
Ah, yes. The Xenia.
Isn't that the name of that 90s TV show?
Oh, no. Not Xena. Xenia. X-E-N-I-A. It's the law of hospitality. You see it often in Greek mythology, but there are different variations of it across ancient cultures from Asia, Europe, and even Native Americans. It's a very strict law, especially for kings and nobility. You must always show hospitality and generosity for your guests, even if they acted rudely.
Why was it so strict?
Back then, travel was very dangerous. Most people never left the towns or villages. If you leave home, chances were you may never return, or many years passed before you did. Unlike what fantasy stories would have you believe, inns and taverns weren't common. So, you either relied on your own luck or the generosity of others. And guests were welcome because they offered news and stories from far away, and when they left, they took the news of your homeland to other places. Kings and nobles were especially expected to be generous because they were wealthy enough to afford it. There are stories of terrible things that happened to rulers who refused to show hospitality to travelers.
Like Beauty and the Beast. Wasn't the Beast a prince who was rude to a witch or a fairy disguised as an old woman? Then she turned him into a monster?
Exactly. And think of the Frog Prince. There's a very good reason why the princess's father insisted his daughter keep her promise to the frog. Even the Vikings upheld hospitality because their gods were known for disguising themselves as mortals and pay home a visit. In the Bible, the book of Hebrews says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." In ancient times, you must always be a good host, as any stranger knocking on your door could be a god or an angel in disguise.
If we must show hospitality to a visiting god or angel, then what must a wife do to bring her husband, a god or angel, home? What would make you disappear without a word? And who would break into your storage unit and steal your relics? It's too much of a coincidence not to be connected somehow. You disappear, and then a month later your relics are stolen? Will finding the thieves lead me to you? And if, no, when I find you, will you come home? And if not, will you take me with you?
You've been listening to the pilot episode of River's Journey, written by Cambry Varner. Produced by Thomas DJ, Chris Honeywell, and Nicole Tomte. Sound design by Chris Honeywell. Music provided by Chris Honeywell. Nicole Tomte was River Wells. John Wilson was Liam. The Wizard Mocha was Lori. Eugene R. Hendricks was Customer. Pamela Jean Agalus was Amelia. Cambry Varner was Karen. Chris Honeywell was Stage Crew. Claire Void was Margot. Kira Hendricks was Lacey and Tina. Tim Price was Storage Unit Caller. David Ellis was David Wells. Please contact us at 8twinfo@gmail.com and join the conversation in the 8TW Discord. You can find the invite at 8tw.blogspot.com. And don't forget to make your voice heard. Go to your social media of choice on Facebook, Twitter, Discord, and Blue Sky, and vote for which pilot you want to hear expanded into a season first. Thank you for listening, and good night.